Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. I want to talk about today the good fight of faith. Now, we've been talking about over the last few months, as we have been coming here, Isaiah 43, talking about that God said, I want to do a new thing. And he said that one of the new thing, or a couple of the new things that he specifies is, I want to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. I want to do a new thing. So for us to enjoy this new road that takes us somewhere new, right? Roads take us somewhere. And in order for us to enjoy the rivers in the desert where it seems like things were lifeless and dead and nothing is happening, right? He wants rivers to produce life again, not just a stream and not just a bucket of water, but rivers. Rivers produce more life. Towns and cities are built on rivers. Why? Because rivers support life, bring life and fruitfulness. So one of the things is that we're going to have to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Just getting on the road is not the answer. It's the beginning. And recognizing that there's rivers is not enough, but we're going to have to learn how to take advantage and tap into and use the rivers, enjoy the rivers. And so I think I made this statement, you can lose by default by not showing up. So I think when we talked about talking to the rock, that we need to believe the word and speak the word. We need to believe the word and speak the word to get results. That is the first step, or that's the first action that needs to be taken in the faith process or the faith step or our life of faith. It's believing in our heart and saying with our mouth. So we can lose by default by not just showing by not showing up. So what does that mean? That means if we don't believe and we don't speak, or if we just believe, but we don't speak the word of God, we didn't show up. So we can lose by default. It's not enough just to not say the wrong thing. Like a lot of times in our company and in our tribe and our group, we recognize the importance of not saying the wrong thing. We need to watch what we say so we don't say the wrong thing. We need to make a good confession. And so we don't say the wrong thing, but it's not enough just to not say the wrong thing. We also have to say the right thing. We need to speak the word of God. So if we don't speak the word of God, we don't say what we believe, there's no results that are produced. So we can lose by default by not even showing up, by not just speaking the word. Okay, so not showing up will be not speaking the word, not speaking what we believe. But the other thing is we can also lose, not by default because we just didn't show up, but we can also lose by not fighting and by giving up. Right? You know, people might fight for the first quarter, for the first half, and then they give up. They're tired, they had enough, and they just give up. And they lose in the half. They lose the last half of the game, or they lose. People, they just give up. They were moving forward. They didn't see any results in the natural, but things were changing in the spirit. But, excuse me, but because they didn't see any results as quick as they wanted to see results, they gave up. And so we can lose by default by not showing up, or we can also lose by not fighting and by quitting. And so let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we're instructed to fight the good fight of faith. And as we fight the good fight of faith, we are doing what? The Bible says here that we are laying hold to eternal life. Now again, eternal life is kind of like the word salvation. People have this idea it just means heaven. I think I talked about this last week, but eternal life is the Greek word zoe. It's the life of God. It's life in its fullest. It's the God kind of life. It's translated as eternal life, everlasting life. It's perpetual life. And it literally started the moment we got born again. The moment we invited Jesus into our heart, we stepped into eternal life. Now, eternal life is different than eternity. Every human being that is born, even those that are aborted, but every human being, every spirit is an eternal spirit. Our spirits, we will live forever. We will exist forever. Now, that's different than eternal life. Because every single person that's in hell right now, they're going to be there forever. But that's not eternal life. That's just eternity. Eternal damnation. It's literal eternal separation from God and everything good. That's because of the choice they made. They didn't want anything to do with God. And hell wasn't even made for people. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. But when people choose to not want anything to do with God, there's only one place where he's not. And there's nothing good. And so they choose. They're going to choose to follow the devil, stay in his family, then they get to live with him. And it's miserable. And every single one of them are kicking themselves in the butt forever. But eternal life is when we invite Jesus into our heart, when we get born again, when we were translated and beamed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. We got born again. We're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, eternal life brought us alive, and it has begun. Eternal life. So he said, we're laying hold on to eternal life. So in John 10:10 says it this way, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's the same word, zoe. So eternal life is not just everlasting life, eternal life. It's not just kind of like looking to the future, but it is the abundant life and living that God has for us in the here and now. Scripture calls it days of heaven on earth. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified calls it the good life. Amen? So we lay hold onto eternal life. We lay hold onto the abundant life and living in the here and now. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, we fight the good fight of faith. And we lay hold onto eternal life or this abundant life and living to which you are called. God has called us to live the abundant life. He's called us to enjoy the abundant life, this good life that Jesus has bought and purchased for us, which we are called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So this is God's plan for us. But it begins out and it all hinges on these first, four or five words, fight the good fight of faith, right? Fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because we can lose by not fighting and by giving up. So we need to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. So my first point is that we win. In order to win, we must fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So what kind of fight is it? What kind of fight is it? Well, that's a good question. But before I answer that, I want us to understand something about this fight. Jesus has won the victory for us. Right? So we're not fighting to win the victory. We're not fighting the devil to beat the devil. Jesus already won the victory for us. Jesus already did the fight. He already won the fight. He already spoiled principalities. He already made a show of them openly. He already made the devil as a big zero. Brought him to naught, Scripture says, King James says. Brought him to naught. Nothing. He's a nothing. He's a zero. So Jesus has won the victory for us. So it's not a fight to win over the devil, but it's a fight to enforce that win and victory in our lives. Right? We need to enforce that victory. See, when armed forces go into a country and they bring freedom to the country, there is a group that stays there to enforce the freedom or enforce the victory. Because if they get the victory and bring freedom and then all leave, all the bad guys come back and take it over. So they have to enforce the freedom, enforce the victory. And they need to stand there, you know, and make sure that the bad guys stay away. Enforce the victory. Amen? And so this is what we need to do in our lives. Now, fear, say fear. Fear is the number one way that the devil the devil has access into our lives, or we can say it this way: it's the number one way that we empower the devil in our lives. See, because Jesus has already won the victory. In other words, and Satan has been brought to naught, and nothing, zero. In other words, he has no authority in our lives unless we give it to him, unless we authorize him, unless we empower him, because he doesn't have any. So if he has any, it's because we've given it to him. And the number one way that we empower him or open up a door in our lives is fear. Fear. Fear opens the door. If we refuse to give place to fear, he has actually nothing to hold on to in our lives. You understand that? If we have fear, it's like... You know, have you seen the squirrel run up a tree? It's because they have a hold. They can grab onto it with their nails and everything. But have you ever watched some of the videos? I've seen some of the videos where people will you know, on a pole they'll have the birdhouse, or they'll have a feeding house for the birds with all the seed in it, and the squirrels love that. So I've seen some people, they've greased the pole, and so the squirrel goes brrr, and then slides down. There's no grip. He has no hold. And so it's just like the devil. If we have fear, he's got a hold. He has a grip in our lives. But if we have no, if we refuse to fear, he has no grip. He has no hold. He can't hang on. He has no hold in our life. There's no opportunity for him to hang on. Amen. You get that? No fear. Hallelujah. We refuse to fear. Now, refusing to fear and having fear come to us are two different things, right? Fear comes to everyone. Matter of fact, every time an angel or someone showed up in the Bible, what was the first thing they said? Fear not. Fear not. So it's just, I mean, fear is just natural. Fear is something that comes, but we have a choice. We have a choice. Hallelujah. So, it is a fight. It's not a fight to win over the devil. That's already been done for us. But it is a fight, and it is a fight. I want to talk about four areas quickly. Number one, it's a fight to what? It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. Right? Boxers, you know, they're... You need to stay in the ring. You can't jump out of the ring because then you've quit. You can't jump out of the ring because then you've, you know, you're not fighting. You have to stay in the ring. And there's some martial arts that the ring is just basically a line. Wrestling is a line. You have to stay in the circle. If you step out of the circle, you're out. If you jump out the circle, you've quit. If you're forced out of the circle, you've lost. So it's a fight. It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. John chapter 16. Last verse. Amplified Classic. John 16, verse 33. says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. And I think that's where the King James, that's where the New King James, that's kind of where it stops. But be of good cheer. In the world you have tribulation, but cheer up. Okay, why? He says, because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Well, to me, I thought that's nice. You overcame the world, but I'm the one going through this. I'm the one that's supposed to be fighting. In the world, we'll have tribulation, we'll have test, trials, frustration, right? Nowhere in Scripture does it say life is going to be a breeze. But it does let us know here, and this is literally Jesus speaking. He said, listen, be of good cheer. In the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trials, in the midst of distress, stress, pressure, and frustration, do what? Be of good cheer. Why? Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident and certain. Undaunted, because I have overcome the world. And then the Amplified goes on. Amplified Classic amplifies what Jesus was saying. It says, I have deprived it of power to harm and have conquered it for you. That's why we're to be of good cheer. Jesus didn't overcome it for him. He overcame it for us. Amen? He didn't overcome it for him. He overcame it for us. He took our place. He became our substitute. So it's very important that we understand that it is going to be a fight, and it is a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. There is going to be pressure. There's going to be frustration. How are we going to respond? It's very important that we understand we need to respond by staying in the ring. It's going to be a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. Now, it's easy to stay in the ring if there's no fight. It's easy to stay in the ring if there's the big lazy boy and the TV and, you know what, snacks and, you know, the fridge and everything. It is easy to stay in the ring, but that's not what's in the ring. What's in the ring? The ring is the opponent. The ring is the fight. It's not what we're waking up for, but we find ourselves in it. Fight. But it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight. So let's not get discouraged. It's a good fight. Why? Because Jesus has already won for us. Amen. He's already won the victory. So we just need to stay in the ring and learn how to fight the good fight of faith so we can lay hold of eternal life, lay hold of the abundant life, lay hold of everything that he has bought and purchased for us. This is the end result. This is what we're fighting for. To lay hold of what he has bought and purchased for us, our inheritance. So it's a fight. It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. It's also a fight to not give up when we feel like it. Because you understand, we are going to feel like it. We're going to feel like it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. We're not going to deny our feelings. We're not going to deny this is the way we feel. But we are going to discipline and control ourselves when we feel that way. We're going to acknowledge, I feel like giving up. But I make a choice. I make a choice not to give up. I make a choice to what? Fight the good fight of faith. I'm not giving up today. I'm not giving up today. We get into the next day, I'm not giving up today. Just don't give up today. Just don't give up today. Because when you get to tomorrow, don't even think about tomorrow. Just don't give up today. Because when you get into tomorrow, it's going to be today. Just don't give up today. Just make a quality decision. Today, I'm in the fight. Today, I'm in the fight. I'm not giving up today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. King James says faint. It's just another word, another way to say give up. right? Let us not grow weary while doing good. Let's not get weary and tired fighting the good fight of faith, standing on the Word of God, believing what God said, speaking what God said. Let's not grow weary doing that, because in due season we will reap. In due season we shall obtain. In due season we will get and enjoy that abundant life. Amen? We might be fighting for it today, but in due season we will be enjoying it. In due season. All we got to do is look back and say, look what God has done for us before. He will do it again. Amen? So, as long as we don't faint or give up or lose heart, we will reap if we don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in the ring. Stay in the ring. So it's a fight. It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. Because we're not going to always feel like it, but there's going to be times when we feel like it. That's when the fight happens, is when we all of a sudden feel like it. It's not a fight when we don't feel like it. It's you hit that moment. You hit that 5 minutes or you hit that day. It just seems like it's a fight, and it is a fight. Don't give up. It's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. And it's a fight to believe and do what we said we believe when everything is telling us not to. You know, it's one thing to say I believe that. It's another thing to act on it for a few moments. It's another thing to continue to act on it and do it. For the long haul. When everything is telling us not to believe it, why do you believe that? It's not working. It's not worth it. It's a fight to believe and do what we say we believe when everything is telling us not to. It's not enough just to believe. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. But Jesus didn't say we'll have what we believe. He said you have what you believe when you say with your heart. We have what we believe when we say, speak, say. It's not just enough to believe. Believe and say, believe and say, believe and say. We need to do. So believe and say. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It's a fight to believe and do what we say we believe. You know, James says the devil believes, but it ain't doing him any good. So it's not enough just to believe. Believing is not the answer. It's part of it, but it's not the whole thing. So it's a fight to believe and do what we say we believe when everything is telling us not to. James chapter 2, verse 26 says this. And this is the third time he actually says this in this chapter. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action, or actions that correspond or line up or agree with what we say we believe. Right? I believe that. Then prove it. I believe that. Then prove it. Do something in line with that. Right? I believe in tithing. I never tithed in my life. That means that what I just say I believed didn't change me. It didn't. Nothing happened. I didn't do anything with what I say I believe. I believe in healing. But I don't do anything. Don't do anything in regards to my eating. Don't do anything in regards to my exercise. Don't do anything in regards to endeavoring to do my part and do. I don't speak the word of God on healing. Declare healing and life and health over my body. I believe in healing, but do nothing that aligns with that. You know, I believe in brushing my teeth, but never brush my teeth in my life. Well, you know, these kind of things. Yeah, people say they believe stuff, but all you got to do is watch them for a while, and it's like, yeah, I don't think you believe it at all. You talk like you believe it. People talk like they believe it. You know, I believe in Jesus. Okay? I'm watching you, and it looks like you believe in acting like the world is what it looks like. So I really can't tell whether you believe in Jesus or not. I mean, I can't be that judge, but I can be observant and go, you know what, you call yourself a Christian, but I'm not sure you are. Maybe. But life is, you know, so what we say we believe ought to have some corresponding action. Or it ought to be, Jesus called it fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Right? So an apple tree, you can't just hang a sign on an orange tree, call it an apple tree. This is my apple tree. All you got to do is watch for a while and it starts popping out oranges and it's like, yeah, that's not an apple tree. Who are you trying to kid? Why? Because the fruit just proved what it was. It's an orange tree, right? So it's more than just saying we believe something. So it's a fight to what? To believe and do what we say we believe when everything is telling us not to. Because faith without works or corresponding action is dead. It's lifeless. It doesn't produce anything. So it's a fight. It's a fight to keep speaking the word when it looks like nothing is changing. Hey, Pastor, you say I'm supposed to be speaking the word of God. I'm supposed to speak in the word of God, and it will change my situation and circumstances. And I've been doing it. I've been doing it for 5 minutes. I've been doing it for 1 day. I've been doing it for 5 days. There may be some things that we've been speaking for 5 weeks, 5 months, and it still looks like nothing is changing in the natural. It's a fight to keep speaking the word when it looks like nothing is changing. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Because the truth of God's word is not determined by how things look. That's why the Spirit of God told us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith is not based on how things look. Faith is based on how things are written. And we choose to believe what God said. We choose to believe what's written. Amen? Doesn't matter how it looks. Now, to us, it matters, right? It matters, but the thing is we don't want it to matter so much that we decide to give up because it doesn't look like anything's changing. And you put the seed in the ground, and I mean, nothing changes. You can sit there for an hour. You could sit there for a day. And it's like nothing is happening. There's something going on underground that we cannot see, but at some point, there's something green is going to pop through the soil. Why? Because something was going on, but we can't see what's going on. But we just have to believe and understand something's working. The process is in motion. So don't give up. So don't give up. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, says this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or soteria. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So no matter how it looks, just understand, if we are believing God and we're speaking the word of God, we will not be put to shame. Shame is not God's plan for us. It's not his desire for us. It's not what he does in our lives. We're free from shame. If we stick to the word of God and stick to what he has said, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And what does that mean? That means he will avenge us. He's our avenger. He will vindicate us. We declare we believe such and such. We believe, declare we believe the word of God. He will vindicate our stand on the Word of God. Amen? That's who He is. Vengeance is His, not ours. He will vindicate us. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So here's this process. With the heart we believe unto righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is being made right. Righteousness is having right standing with God. Righteousness can also be called, translated, justice. So, the first process is, the first step is, that with the heart we believe. With the heart we believe what God said, and it puts us in right standing, it puts us in the right place. It now makes what we say we believe our legal right. Legally, it's ours. See, as citizens of the kingdom, we have legal rights. As children of the family of God, we have an inheritance. As citizens of the kingdom, there are legal rights. The kingdom is set up. The Bible says it's set up by law and order. The kingdom functions and operates on a legal system. And so we have legal rights. And so when we declare that we choose to believe, for with the heart we believe unto righteousness, with our heart we choose to believe the Word of God, what He says, whatever the situation might be, saying about finances, saying about healing and health, saying about our marriage, saying about our provision and supply, what He says about peace, what He says about rest, what He says about wisdom, whatever it might be that we're believing God for. If we choose to believe with our heart, we believe, and it makes it legally ours. See, Jesus has already bought and purchased it for us. But just because it's bought and purchased for us doesn't necessarily mean we've laid hold of it, taken hold of it, that we say, that's mine legally. It's available because of Jesus. But the moment we believe with our heart, it becomes ours legally. But now having it as ours legally, we've laid hold of it. It becomes our legal right, righteousness, legal right, doesn't mean we enjoy it. The next thing He says is with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With our mouth, confession is made unto soteria. With our mouth, confession is made unto healing. With our mouth, confession is made unto protection. With our mouth, confession is made unto safety. With our mouth, confession is made unto wholeness. With our mouth, confession is made unto prosperity and victory, soundness. See, now it's legally ours. Now for us to enjoy it, with the mouth, confession is made unto. See, with our mouth, our confession is taking us somewhere. It's with our mouth, confession is made unto that soteria, that salvation result, that healing result, that prosperity result, that victory result. With the heart we believe makes it legally ours. With our mouth, confession is made unto. It begins to take us to it. You know, you get the kids in the car, and 5 minutes later, it's like, are we there yet? No. We're not even out of the driveway yet. We're still packing everything. All of a sudden, we're out of the driveway. We're on the road. Are we there yet? No, but we're on the way, right? We're going on to. We're going on to the beach. We're going on to the, wherever we're going. We're going on to, but we're on the move. That's what our confession does. With our mouth, confession is made unto. Unto. Amen? You get that? So, So it's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. It's a fight to believe and do what we say we believe when everything is telling us not to. And it's a fight to keep speaking the word when it looks like nothing is changing. Because of Jesus, Satan and his forces are dethroned, disarmed, and losers. Amen? All because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. So I'm going to close with these two verses. I'm just going to quote these two verses, and then we'll basically unhook and pick up. Actually, you know what? Yeah, we'll unhook and we'll pick up here next week. First, and then we'll start off here again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory is ours. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 says that he always causes us, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. So Jesus has won the victory for us, so we are now to enforce that victory in our lives. So don't let the devil knock you out of the fight or trick you into giving up. That's what his strategy is going to be. Because he's already lost unless we give up, right? We can lose by default by not showing up, or we can lose by just not fighting and quitting. So the issue is, don't quit. Don't let the devil knock you out of the fight or trick you into giving up. So stay in the fight by continuing to speak the word of God and talking to the rock. Amen? Amen. Glory to God.